Well, good morning and welcome. It's a beautiful day on the outside. I don't know about you, in our parts of the world, right here in St. Lucia. If you're listening from any other parts of the world, in St. Lucia, it's a beautiful sunny morning. A little windy, but we're loving this. All right, so that's what's going on our side. Feel free, if you're on our Facebook feed and our Facebook Live, and you would like to let us know what the weather is like in your parts, feel free to do just that. But this is where we welcome you to She Speaks for yet another awesome day, partnered with the Bank of St. Lucia. And we've got the privilege of having another amazing daughter of the soil who's going to, you know, who have given the privilege of us entering into her world, you know, minding her business, asking all her, you know, how she grew up, what she was like as children, you know, all these things. We really get down into the business, but it is not madness. And it's not just that for moon. We just really, these are women that we admire. These are regular everyday women who are going about doing their thing, defying the odds and making it happen. And, you know, hopefully through their stories, it can help to inspire so many of our listeners who probably might be at whatever stages in their life and their career where they feel the need to give up just hearing the stories of persons who they look up to, that they see have gone ahead and made it happen. Probably just understanding that these persons may have faced some of those challenges as well could help keep pushing on. So Dr. Daniels is on the line. I will take a word from our partners, and then when we come back, we get right into the conversation. We are wasting it this morning at all.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Always there for you, serving you. The St. Lucian way, we like family, always there for you, helping you and me. B-O-S-L, no say for me. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every St. Lucian.
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
Wonderful. So tell me that you're ready for this conversation, because I'm ready for this conversation. There's some things on that lady profile that she have to explain to me this morning. Let me tell you, I'm not as versed because she's in a totally different field, not field that we are exposed to on a daily basis. So let me go on over and say good morning. Good morning, Dr. Daniels. How are you?
Good morning, Marina. I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
We are honored to have you on board. Let me just first throw that out. Very honored to have you on board. Thank you so much for joining us. Accepting the request and joining us. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Okay, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. All right, so you know how we normally do the thing. If you don't know, we'll start off by trying to figure out what kind of child you were. So what was growing up like? Tell us about where you were born and what was growing up like for you.
So I grew up in the town of Sioux Falls, St. Lucia. And it's a small town, but it's a town that's filled with vibrant people. It's a very close-knit community, so... by community, I mean, you know, you were raised in a particular family, but you were also a member of a neighbor's family. So we all kind of looked out for one another. And so we all grew up very closely. And growing up in Sioux Falls, I think I have very fond memories of what it was like, you know, to be a child of the soil, like you said.
Right.
It was some of my most fond memories. I absolutely loved being able to, you know, go outside and enjoy the natural bliss of, you know, the island. I have memories of using, you know, pebbles. I think a lot of my friends from the time probably still remember. We would take pebbles and, you know, draw hopscotch on the ground.
Oh, yes.
We call it RL, right?
Yes.
So these are some of my thoughts. Taking some, you know, some elastic and playing high jump or playing, you know, rounders. And these are things that we did when we got home after school. So we had a lot of playtime, and I think that was really crucial to my upbringing, because it allowed me to think freely and creatively, and I absolutely and thoroughly am thankful for that time in my upbringing.
Okay, what kind of household was it? You have any siblings? What was it like? Was it mom, dad, household, or just mommy or grandparents? Who was it?
So it was a mix. So For the earlier part of my childhood, I did grow up with my grandparents, and then my parents were actually in the U.S., and they joined us, or they rejoined us a little bit later on when I was about 5 or 6. So I did grow up in a household with both of my parents. I actually had three siblings who lived in my household, and two of whom are my older sisters, Tiffany and Crystal, and my younger brother, Jade. And so we're very close in age, actually. We're only about, I think, 3 or 4 years apart, each of us. So we grew up being very close, and we all looked out for each other. So we were like a little team. And we did lots of, you know, silly things together. We had very similar friends. So all of our friends know each other. And we had, I think, I remember growing up, we had a club. So we had a clubhouse in the back of my house, and the neighborhood kids, you know, our friends. Yeah, we would, they would come over to my house, and we did things like, we did adventures. We planned raffles. So we had one of our neighbors, she actually liked to bake. So we would bake a cake and go knocking on our neighbor's doors, asking them if they wanted to, you know, participate in our raffle.
Oh,
and they'd give us, you know, back then.
This is
50 cents or a dollar was like it was a big deal for us. So we collected money, and I think we probably ended up making over $100 one of these times. And we used the money to do things for ourselves, you know, to be able to go to the beach and to do things that, you know, kids wanted to do, throw parties and things like that. So it was our initial attempt at being entrepreneurs.
That's what I was about to ask you now. What are some of, now that you're all grown and you're doing what you're doing, what are some of the things that if you were to make a connection to what was going on back then, that was just normal children living as far as you were concerned at that time. But now that you've understood it, you understand some of the little things that you were doing back then, how they are critical and they are helpful now in your life.
Yes, absolutely. So
what are some of those?
Looking back on it, I think a lot of what I did back then had a very big impact on the way I view life now, even in terms of my motivation and in terms of the things that I think that can become possible. And not just regarding what activities I partook in while I was younger with my neighborhood friends and my siblings, but even in looking at the dynamics of my household, you know, my parents actually themselves were entrepreneurs. They owned a few businesses in my hometown of St. Lucia. My parents, you know, they owned a restaurant. Some people may still know it. It's the Jackal Restaurant, which was, you know, obviously named after the national bird.
Right.
And they owned, yeah, so they owned a restaurant there. And, you know, they served
a lot. Is it right there in the middle of Soufre, right on the by around where they may have had that that mall type now? Is it around that area on the opposite side?
Absolutely. That's exactly where it was.
Oh,
yes.
I've had lunch there recently, man. I went down to get my spa treatment by Tessa, and I had lunch there. It was really good, and the service was amazing. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So even those things, I think, were some of, you know, my fond memories, and even, you know, seeing my parents do those things back then, it really allowed me to believe that I was capable of doing these things now in terms of just pursuing different avenues of entrepreneurship. So I was very fortunate to have that during my upbringing.
Wonderful. Well, we've got an extensive conversation to have as far as your career path and where you are right now and what it is that you're doing. So let's take a word from our sponsors. And then when we come back, I want to delve right into that, because there's some things that on your profile day, you have to break it down for me to digest this morning, because it's not things that I'm used to. So we'll get back to that. Let's just take a word from our partners,
nope.
Bank of St. Lucia. Thank you.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Always there for you, serving you and me, the St. Lucian way. We like family, always there for you, helping you and me, B-O-S-L, no se for me. For every solution,
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
And for those of you who are just joining us, this is Radio Caribbean International. She speaks as a Tuesdays around that time of the day. And of course, we've got Dr. Yasmin Daniels, who is our guest today. We're about to delve into what it is that she's into. Jazz, let's go into your study pattern. Where did you? What happened from then? You left school, and when did you realize that you were into the science? Because this is a field. But there's some things that is branching out of that field that you're now very, very instrumental in that you'll have to break down to us. So tell us, when did you realize that you had that passion in the field of science?
Okay, so as you mentioned, I left school, so I attended St. Joseph's Convent, and I left after about 1 year, and, you know, my folks returned to the U.S., so I, you know, accompanied them. Mm-hmm. And I started to pursue my education there. And I think my passion and my love for science really began out of me observing my instructors and my teachers teach science. So I had, I guess, a fortunate experience in being a part of, courses where the professors themselves were very instrumental in allowing the students to see that science was not some sort of a stereotypical, field that students or even girls like myself should not pursue.
Right.
And that was something that I struggled with myself because I was sort of a shy girl growing up, very soft-spoken, and I didn't really find my voice until much later in my schooling. And mm-hmm. I think partially that's due to, the mentoring that I had from instructors and just folks within the field who kind of ushered me along. So I think, having been a student who was always good in science, always getting good grades in math and science, that was good and all. But I think what really sort of pushed me, over the line into really pursuing it was seeing that it was actually fun, it was doable, and I thoroughly enjoyed that they were able to communicate science to me in a way that made it very simple and comprehensible. So I actually started to develop a passion for wanting to do the same for others. So it was throughout those observations that I started to develop that, that little fire in me wanting to give back. And that kind of set the stage for what I do now, which is what you want to get into, I know.
That's right. Explain to us what it is that you do.
Yes. So I think the work that I do, I work in a variety of fields. And I think that what sums it up really is the term science communicator. And so what that basically means is someone who is able to communicate different aspects of science to the general public. Mm-hmm. So, and I call myself a science communicator because I work communicating science not only to youth. So I do a lot of STEM outreach, and STEM stands for, or I say STEM or STEAM, which is public. Mm-hmm. So, and I call myself a science communicator because I work communicating science not only to youth. So I do a lot of STEM outreach, and STEM stands for, or I say STEM or STEAM, which is what it's now known as. It stands for science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of outreach in those areas, especially to youth, because, like I said, I want to do the same thing for them that was done to me while I was growing up. I want to show them that they can also pursue it. Science is a very fun, loving, field, and it's something that they can absolutely conquer and pursue. So I do it on that level, but I also teach at the collegiate level. So mm-hmm. I'm an adjunct professor at a local college teaching organic chemistry mm-hmm. to college students, to adults. And beyond that, I communicate science to large government agencies. So I work as an industrial hygienist, which within the U.S. government now. Mm-hmm. And so I communicate the science of workplace hazards, so chemical health hazards to the general public, but also to big organizations and agencies.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah.
that's some heavy stuff right there. That's some absolutely heavy stuff right there. So on a daily, we understand that you communicate, how things will affect it. What is a normal day on the job like when you're doing those government policy science stuff? When you're doing that, what are some of the things that you may have to have, like break it down for us?
Sure. So as an industrial hygienist, which is basically the area of, the study of science of safety and health hazards in the workplace or safety hazards,
mm-hmm.
You basically would anticipate a hazard and you could then evaluate the hazard that a worker would be exposed to. You figure out ways of communicating that hazard and also how to control. So in my previous position, before I went on to the side of policy, in regulation, I actually worked as an investigator, a federal investigator.
My mind taking me elsewhere because I'm saying with that kind of skills and stuff, that sounds like, you would have been find yourself in problems sometimes with certain people. I'm just saying, because there might be companies who wants to go ahead and do their things their way, and there you coming in as and you're about to tell them that, hey, this is not in keeping with, or you the one to determine this is not in keeping with the standards. This could become a hazard, and they just want to go ahead and do their thing. Have you found yourself in positions like such, or are watching too much movie?
Yeah, I mean, you could, and as a safety and health specialist in general, your primary goal is always to provide assistance, right? So you go out there really wanting to help the people and to provide, you know, a way that the workers can be safe, but also in a way where their bosses or the company owners could actually, you know, feasibly provide that assistance or that, you know, remediation or the corrective action. So, you know, a lot of people like to think of, you know, these government officials as being these big, bad enforcers. Yeah. But I honestly think that during my time and my experience, I've had a great opportunity to help a lot of people. And that's really the part of my job that I enjoy the most. You know, I'm able to really delve into, the like I said, the science behind the workplace safety and health. And mm-hmm. so if it takes me actually explaining to them, because a lot of people don't really understand. It might seem basic, but, you know, you may have someone working in an area where they're exposed to a chemical, and they may not really understand what detrimental effects that chemical may have on their bodies. And being a science communicator and industrial hygienist, I get the opportunity to really sit and explain that to them to them the long effects, the short-term effects, the routes of entry for their bodies, not taking it home to their families. All of these things, I think, really provide a, you know, a good case for why they really should go along with doing things the right way. And I've gotten really good feedback from these people during my job.
Well, that has just showed up another part as well, because it's not just having the information, knowing what is and what not, but for you to execute it in that manner, which you just explained, that would have to take some sort of psychological, because, you know, to find a common ground where you could explain to people, hey, this is going to be a problem, but here's something, and, you know, to get them to find that lovely ground where they can, you know, take in what you're saying and not be mad. I think that again is another beautiful trait, and I don't think everybody has that. So that's another thing that we're adding on to you there, isn't it? Or we figuring out this morning. We're talking about that. So in that field, how diverse is that field? Is there very many people that is into that kind of field? Because we have young people here, and everybody sometimes we are just, you know, training this one pattern as to where career takes us. And we are seeing now there's so many different avenues and places to explore as far as a career is concerned. So I would like us to touch a little bit on that for some of the young people who might be thinking about, you know, careers at this time. And I'm glad that you've made it your mission as well also to take it from that level in terms of teaching and showing that. So now for some of the young people that might be listening, can you just direct them and show them how possible this is?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, being a young person in the field, I think it's actually quite helpful, because while I was an investigator, I developed a lot of qualities that were able to actually assist me with the work that I do today. So I'm no longer a boots on the ground investigator, as we would call it. I work more on the policy side. So I work on more so, you know, reading, writing, reviewing, interpreting, on that side of things, and still providing a lot of assistance and oversight with those who are still out in the field. But I think, you know, being a young person in the field, that's the point at which you want to develop your critical skills. You want to build your foundation, the knowledge, gain the experience, because, you know, once you start to go up the career ladder, that becomes really crucial. And you can use some of those experiences in order to help you to formulate those, you know, high-level policies and things like that, if that, in fact, is the area that you're trying to go into. So I think it's great that young folks, you know, enter into the field at that level, because it does provide a lot of, you know, crucial information that can be utilized later on.
Of all the things that you've grown up, all the principles and stuff like that during your formulating years, and in relation to the job that you're doing now, how is that along the line? Is that fulfilling in terms of living out the things that you grew up, the principles, the policies, some of the things that you grew up in your mind? Do you find that you're able to express it through the work that you're doing now? And how are you doing this? How do you manage to do it? Because you seem like a very passionate person in terms of human growth, people's growth, and the elevation in their mindsets and stuff like that. So tell us how the two is working out now for you.
Yeah, and I'm huge on, like you said, mindset, and I'm huge on, nurturing folks from a young age, particularly. So, you know, one of the things that I'm very active is STEM outreach, but also in education, you know, as a whole. So I like to, I actually, outside of doing STEM outreach, I do a lot of mentoring. I mentor a lot of young girls. Like I mentioned to you before, I myself, I was very shy, a very meek child. And so I understand the value now of being able to sort of pull a young girl and sort of, you know, usher her along her career path, help her to find her inner voice, help her to understand that the world, you know, is a place that it's fit for a woman to actually be in a leading position. Mm-hmm. And these are some of the things and experiences that I've gone through myself and some of the struggles that I've encountered. So I, you know, in everything that I do now, I always try to find an opportunity to give back. And, you know, even while we're on the topic,
let's talk about that, because I realize you've been doing some stuff with your former school, the St. Joseph Convent. So let's delve into that.
Absolutely. You know, in the aspect of giving back, recently, I've actually teamed up with a group of my former classmates from St. Joseph's Convent, and there are about five of us in that group, and we're part of the 2002 alumni cohort, and so we basically came together. The reunion, I would call it, was spearheaded by one of my former classmates. Her name is Sasha Harris, who's actually an education consultant and executive director for E4 Caribbean, and it's a company basically focused on strengthening assets of children, youth, families, and basically reducing high-level youth unemployment, you know, through programs that are centered around education, engagement, entrepreneurship, employment, things like that. So it makes sense that she would get us together to want to do something, you know, where we would be giving back. And
absolutely.
So she reached out to me because she knew that I was very passionate about pouring back into, you know, the youth, especially in terms of education and science, entrepreneurship, finding their inner voices. But she also reached out to three other former classmates of mine, and I would be remiss if I didn't actually, you know, mention them, Talua Girard, who's a creative development manager for a company called, Women and Informal Employment. So basically they work with a global network that's focusing on empowering and working with poor, especially women in the informal economy, to secure their livelihoods. We've also reached out to Joy Quinlan. She's a forensic DNA analyst in St. Lucia and a quality manager, and she works with a group that does DNA analysis for evidence of crime scenes and, you know, in different things. And lastly, we actually reached out to a medical doctor. She's actually a physician anesthesiologist who focuses on obstetrician and anesthesiology. So, you know, this sort of small-knit group of us, we've come together and thought that it would be best for us to leverage all of our individual resources, only to maybe build some sort of a skills directory that we can all benefit from, but that other alumni may benefit from, but also because we are all passionate about trying to give back to our alma mater in a way that would be, you know, of service to the students, perhaps doing through some mentorship or also through some sort of structural, you know, giving back. And so we're working on lots of different ways that we can do that, and also coordinating with the administration of the school, you know, to try to figure out what the best way is that we can do so. We actually recently had our very first virtual reunion for the entire class of 2002, the A1s is what we call ourselves. And so we recently all got together on Zoom, and we were just sort of catching up and letting them know what we've been working on and asking them for input and, you know, opening it up for folks
beautiful.
To join.
That is absolutely beautiful.
And all work together, yes.
And, you know, to have so much on your plate and to be so active and critical in your career path and still find time to do that is amazing. Now, let me tell you, I'm taking a word again from our partners. I got to give them their credits. And then I'm coming right back. When I come back, it's going to be time to wrap up half an hour. It goes really quickly around here. But we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, what it is you do outside of that, because that's a lot going on right there. I mean, is that all you do, or do you find time to find something else that you love or passionate about outside of that? You know, so when we come back, you're going to share a little bit of that with us. We'll be back.
Thank you.
We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, building our future today. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every solution, with you every step of the way. Serving you and me, the St. Lucian way. We like family, always there for you, helping you and me. BOSL Nuce for me. We are the Bank of St. Lucia, for every St. Lucian.
Bank of St. Lucia, all the bank you need.
Well, it's wrap-up time, and 3 minutes left on the inside. Dr. Daniels, let's talk about outside of all of that, because that's quite a full plate right there. That's heavy stuff, and this is thing that where your mind is constantly engaged. So do you find time to do anything outside of that, like, you know, go to the beach? What do you do outside of that? Or if you were to find the time, what would it be? What would you choose?
So, yeah, believe it or not, outside of all that I do, I'm a wife. I'm a mom, so I have a wonderful husband and a wonderful two-and-a-half-year-old son.
Oh, awesome.
And I pour so much into the both of them, and I love them so dearly. So I take a lot of pride in playing those roles. And, you know, also I found time, you know, outside of all of that, one of the things I like to do is write. So right. I actually found time to write a book, which I recently published back in November. And, of course, the book was able to combine my two passions of wanting to nurture and encourage kids, but also being involved in STEM. So it's a children's book, and it was inspired by my son, you know, for me to sort of make something creative that kids could connect with and that they could kind of have and hold on to forever.
Wow.
So, you know, I could provide them that gift. You know, a book is a gift that keeps on giving. You know, you can open it and open it over and over. So the book basically tells the story of friends who have one friend in common who has some doubts about herself, you know, going through her high school career. Mm-hmm. And she wants to pursue science. She's good at it, but she's not too confident. And these friends come together to help build that confidence in her. It's a very fun story. It has a lot of life lessons, not just for kids, but for adults. And it has some really fun activities in the appendix section of the book that I think a lot of students have been, youth members have been connecting with as well. So these are some of the things that I do outside of, you know, my 9-to-5.
But even then, you find a way to merge the two and make it a family thing, and I love that. Is the book available on Amazon? Where can we get the book? Can we?
Yes. It's absolutely. You can just look it up on Amazon. It's called Building My Self-Esteem in Science. Mm-hmm. You can look it up that way, or you can just type my name, Dr. Yasmin Daniels, and it will pop right up.
And it will pop right up. Can we see more of those publications in the future? Do you have plans?
Absolutely. So it's a series, actually, and this is the first of about five.
Wonderful.
So there are more to come, so I'm excited to share all of that. We're working really hard behind the scenes trying to get it all done in a considerable amount of time. So I'm really excited to share with everyone.
Wonderful. Before you leave us, Dr. Daniels, we have a number of persons that is tuned in on a daily, and they really do look forward to this program. So speak to some of our listeners, some of the people who are probably, especially in the environment that we are now in, everything that's going on, this whole COVID thing is, I mean, what's your thought, though, by the way? I didn't ask you that. What's your thought on this whole COVID thing, though? How are you?
Well, you know, I'm working from home like a lot of people probably still are, and I'm just hoping that, you know, we can return to normal very soon, because that's a part of our, you know, our life and even my upbringing and bringing up my son that I missed, you know, for him. And I feel horribly for the younger kids not having the opportunity to, you know, really experience childhood like we did. I mentioned, you know, being able to go outside and play and interact. So that's really the saddest part about it all for me. And, of course, all of the lives that we've lost, unfortunately, as well.
Wonderful. Anybody else that is listening right now that may need a little bit of a booster, some of the challenges, because persons feel, persons like yourself had life handed out on a silver platter. So what are some of the challenges that you've faced throughout your life journey and a career journey that you can share with us and, you know, maybe give a little inspiration as to how you overcame it? And that could probably help to inspire some of our listeners as well.
Of course. And, you know, I when people say to me sometimes, you know, well, it seems that you have everything all put together. And I say, you know, there's quite a lot that you don't see behind the scenes. And it's not that I'm shy about expressing that. I actually share that with a lot of people who I mentor. But I've had a lot of, you know, upsets, you know, throughout my career path, not getting into school programs that I've applied to, failing exams. Imagine I actually failed a chemistry exam once.
Mm.
And that for me, I thought, you know, and I'm a chemist now. So it kind of just speaks. You know, it's not always about your failures. It's about how you rebound. And you can always accomplish anything that you set yourself out to do. It's just about how much effort you put into it and your mindset. So if you have a positive outlook on things, one failure, one mishap, one misstep is not going to, you know, deter you from your goal. And so I think that's sort of what you should always have, the overall picture in the back of your mind. And we're human, so we obviously feel sad and discouraged at times, but it's about picking it up and just pushing yourself on, and sometimes putting on your blinders and telling yourself, this is where I'm going to be, and I'm going to do it regardless. Right. And that's really the attitude that I like to have when I go throughout life.
That tunnel vision. Thank you so very much, Dr. Daniels, for joining us this morning on She Speaks. And I really do wish that as much people as possible were tuned in this morning, but they could always catch the recap if you missed it on our Facebook live feed. But it was an honor to have you. You have a beautiful story. We admire you. That field that you're in, it's quite exciting, quite interesting. I'm sure there'll be young people right now after this who is probably starting to do their own little researches, because they didn't even realize that this is something that existed and they could head into that part. So I think it was a beautiful conversation this morning, and we were honored to have you. All the best to you and your family.
Thank you. It was my pleasure being here. Thank you so much for having me.
Wonderful. Have a good one now.
You too.
All right, we'll do. So there you have it, guys. Dr. Yasmin Daniels is a definite daughter of the soil. She's out there. She's doing her thing. But how proud does it make you feel, especially in these times where we're recognizing also our Nobel laureates? And St. Lucia is, has birthed some amazing persons with some great, great, parts, charting it and doing it out there. So it's doable. It's not a matter of this little dot of an island where you were born. You could be out there on a large scale, like, you know, providing scientific assistance. Imagine that for the U.S. governments and these sort of things. This is what she's doing and so much more at that. So it's possible and it's doable, but it's a matter of the mindset, like she just left with us. And I think that's a beautiful note to have left on this morning. Thank you guys so much again for joining us here on She Speaks this morning. Thank you to our partner, the Bank of St. Lucia. We will take a word from them, take a further break, and then when we come back, we'll switch around this live. We'll go into our main live, and then we'll continue from there with Plain AG and myself with our stay up for today.